Would you turn to Luke chapter 1 this morning? Luke chapter 1. I know it's only December 8. Come on, Kevin, don't rush the season. I think there are some important things for us to consider as we are in what's commonly called the Christmas season. Some people are working hard to remove Christ from Christmas. Their labors and their efforts, it's fascinating to me, if they're truly atheistic, why would they give any energy at all to someone that doesn't exist? But they're working very hard to try to remove Christ from Christmas. Want it to become winter solstice or happy holidays? But truly, if you want a happy holiday, give your life to Jesus and you can enjoy a Merry Christmas. How's that? But we get to enjoy Him and share Him and radiate His presence at this time of year, especially all year long. But at this time of year, there is sometimes a softening in the hearts of neighbors and friends to hear the true story. Don't be bashful about saying your Merry Christmas. I know we don't want to offend people. And, you know, it's fascinating this year. Hanukkah began on Thanksgiving, and it won't happen that way again for another 70,000 years. And so we want to respect other people's events as well, but we should not be embarrassed nor ashamed to boldly declare a Merry Christmas, because Jesus is the true Christmas gift. Amen? God's idea is gift-giving, for God so loved that He gave. How many of you have ever, it's really pretty cool. You ever go to the edge of your bank if you're on the waterfront or just out on the back porch? Turn off all your lights and look up at the stars, the Milky Way Aurora Borealis. Yeah, thank you. I was going to say that, and then I checked myself, because sometimes I say things without double checking, you know. So anyway, the Northern Lights, that's right, thank you. And so there's this just absolutely cascading a splash of light and color. I mean, God's light show is better than anybody can make in a movie. You know that. And so you look across and see those, and so you thank God you live in an area where it's not just the downtown area of a major metropolitan city, because you can't see the stars at all with all the light shining. But when you get it dark, man, it just is beautiful. And every now and then you see a shooting star, or you see a satellite or something like that going by. But it is so powerful. And sometimes because of the lights and the glitter that distracts us in life, we miss the truly magnificent things. And God sent His Son with an angel choir and glorious angelic hosts singing and song and changing lives forever. And a lot of people missed it, because of focus on other things that glitter and distract from the true message. So you've got a true message to give, and that's what we're all about this morning. This is called Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and Me. Say it with me. Mary, Joseph, the Magi, and Me. Let's talk about Mary. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 through 38. Now, I'd like you to see it in your own scripture. If you don't have a Bible with you, I do have it up here as well. But it's important that you know where these scriptures are. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. And I'm going to break down a series of messages over the next few weeks as we celebrate the good news of Christmas in Jesus. By the way, I'm well aware that Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. Does that burst your bubbles or take halo off your angels? It's the truth. But, you know, guess what? I don't care. Because this is the time, this is the season, and it's great to celebrate a time for His birth. And it doesn't matter. We don't know if it was August. Some say April. Some say September. It doesn't matter. Some say in more Orthodox churches that June 6th is the event, and you begin on December 25th through the 6th of June for your celebration. The most important thing, celebrate Jesus. Turn to each other and say, let's celebrate Jesus. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We're in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Now I'm on verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." I'm reading from the New King James. "The Lord," say it with me, please, "is with you. Blessed are you among women." Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob," how long? "Forever. And of his kingdom," please say the next words with me, "there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called," say it with me please, "the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Please read verse 37 with me. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Say it again. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, read it with me, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the Greek, her name is Maria. She is highly favored. The Lord is with her, the Bible says. She's graced, she's favored, she's blessed. She's spoken well of among women, and she's a virgin. By the way, you check out commentator after commentator, Terry, and the word virgin, most agree, means completely that, very straightforward, she was indeed a virgin. She is probably 12 to 14 years of age. And her entire life is going to change forever in this heartbeat of response to the Lord. The Bible calls her blessed, and so do we. The Bible does not teach us Mary worship, and we don't. The Bible does tell us of her remarkable heart for God, and we honor her. We're grateful for, how many are grateful for Mary? She bore the Son of God. What a powerful, precious, wonderful heart of response. After the ministry of Jesus, by the way, we only see Mary four more times in the Scripture. We don't worship her. We don't pray to her. But we do respect and honor and appreciate her. "Be it unto me according to your word." Say that with me. "Be it unto me according to your word." That word there, there's logos and there's rhema. Pastor Jay preached about that just a few weeks ago. That rhema, your specific word, your specific calling, that quickened word that the Holy Spirit speaks in your heart. You know, when you preach a message and there are 30 people in the room, there can be 30 different messages being heard. You understand that? Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly where to apply something to your and my life. And that quickened word, the quickened word of God inside of you, is that rhema word. "Be it unto me, Lord," according to that revealed, quickened, anointed, blessed word and calling of God. And her song of worship comes boiling and bubbling out of her spirit. Verses 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me," what? "Blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." My soul magnifies the Lord. She sings about the magnificence of God. That's called the Magnificat. The magnificence of God. And Mary is willing-hearted. Willing hearts worship. Willing-hearted people worship. Are you willing-hearted this morning? Turn to each other and say, "How willing is your heart?" Webster's dictionary. Willing, inclined, or favorably disposed in mind. Ready, willing, and eager to help. That's the word willing. I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm eager, Lord. Do exactly what you said. God, pour out your spirit. Fulfill your word. You've given me promises. Lord, I am eager and ready to respond to you. Prompt to act or respond. Sometimes we wonder why the Lord doesn't act on our behalf, but we're very delayed in our own response. And Jesus is saying, come on, willing-hearted folks, rise up and say, yes, Lord. He says, jump, I'll say, yeah, how high on the way up? Amen. Right? Yes, Lord. Prompt to act or respond, accepted by choice, without reluctance. This is the meaning of the word willing. Without reluctance, Lord, I'm not reluctant to do your will. I want so much for your will to be done in my life. Do it, Lord. Let our hearts be saying, be it unto me according to your will and your word. Now, immediately, you got to be honest enough to admit it. Immediately, at the same time as she said yes, her world was turned upside down with trouble. You understand that? Preachers that stand up here and say to you, there's never any trouble. If you have trouble, you must be in sin. God wouldn't allow you to have any trouble in your life. Don't read the Bible. Because even Mary entered into a lot of trouble. There was a lot of confusion in the camp in her house. I thought you went up to visit Elizabeth. What's happened to you up there? She's pregnant. The will of God is a blessing and can also provide a challenge. Are you ready to walk through the challenge? The Lord loves you so much and wants you to give him away. But does that mean everybody you talk about Jesus with is really ready, eager, and willing to respond? No. But it doesn't mean we don't tell him. Number two, Joseph. First, Mary. Number two, Joseph. Let's read the scriptures again. A lot of scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 1, if you would turn there, please. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. How many of you think if an angel shows up to you, you might feel a little fear? And the message always is, when an angel comes on the scene in the scripture, what? Fear not. Fear not. Joseph, don't be afraid to take you, Mary, to you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. She called his name Jesus. Joseph was just. That is diakios. Diakios. And it means he is equitable. He is holy. He's innocent. Joseph was an equitable man, an honest man, a man of character and a man of integrity. No accusation could come against him. He wasn't responsible for Mary's being pregnant. He wasn't involved with her prior to the time. He didn't want, though, to make her a public example. He surely could have, couldn't he? This is a culture in that day where they thrust these people away from them. Sometimes in the past they had stoned them. And remember, Jesus said, if you don't have any sin, you can toss a stone at the one woman caught in the act of adultery. How many in this room have ever sinned? Okay, a few of you haven't, and then praise God, bless you. But the rest of us need the grace of God. We need his grace, his mercy in our lives. And so too did these folks. But Joseph was a just man, an equitable man. And the scripture in the Greek, it literally means he did not want to expose Mary to infamy. Isn't that powerful? He didn't want to expose her to infamy, and he didn't want to put her to open shame. So he was going to put her away privately. So he's just. Joseph is also sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to him through a dream and he pays attention. Now, God doesn't always lead in dreams, but the Scripture says he can. We need to be willing to listen to God. Now, if the voice you get doesn't match up with the verse you got, the voice you get ain't worth the powder to blow up what you got. Or something like that. Anyway, it's got to be based on this. All right? But The Lord can give you dreams and visions and perspectives and promptings and leading. Just make sure they're accurate according to the Scripture. But he obeyed what the Spirit showed him, so he's sensitive to the Lord. Joseph is also a willing-hearted worshiper. Say that with me. A willing-hearted worshiper. How many know your obedience is an act of worship to God? If the Lord asks you to do something, if the Lord directs you to do something, you don't always have to have a voice when you've got a verse, but if the Lord tells you to do something, your obedience is an act of worship to him. Joseph, his entire life, Joseph was born with a purpose chosen by God to be the natural father for our Lord Jesus. He was born with a purpose. He trained him in how to be a carpenter. He trained him in how to be a young man. He trained him in how to get lost at the camp when you're a teenager. Fooling around with the family. They lost him at the temple. You know, I mean, all of those things. But Joseph was a man who cared for him. He wasn't his own natural son. But he cared for him as if he was. And Joseph was given to the purpose of caring and protecting and providing for Mary and Jesus and his family. We don't know what became of Joseph. We don't know what happened to him. We do know that it appears he passed away because at the end at the cross, we see Mary and we don't see Joseph. Scholars say the book of Luke contains information regarding the history of the family that could have only come from Mary herself, from the mom. But Joseph probably had died by that time. So Mary and Joseph, what about the Magi? The Magi, Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. You're right there, just another chapter over. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of who? Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Do you know that Herod the Great died in 4 B.C.? So Jesus was born prior to 4 B.C. So our calendar is wrong and off by a few years. He didn't die. He wasn't born, rather, in 1 A.D. Herod the Great died in 4 B.C. Jesus was born around that time or prior to that. Herod, let's just talk about him. Just a quick moment. Hold on to a couple of details. Herod was not the rightful king from a lineage of David. Their kings were supposed to be from the lineage of David. He wasn't even a descendant of Jacob, but he was from Esau. He was an Edomite. He reigned over Palestine from 37 B.C. to 4 B.C. The fact he was an Edomite caused nearly all of the Jews to passionately hate him and never, ever truly accepted him as their king. Even though he actually did a lot for the country. He was a terrible man. He was a great builder. And a lot of their buildings came from Herod the Great. But if somebody had been rightfully born as king of the Jews, then Herod's job was in jeopardy. You with me? You tracking with me? Herod was in trouble if the real king was on the scene. Now, tradition says that the Magi were men of high position, probably from Parthia, near the site of ancient Babylon. How do they know that the star they saw represented the Messiah? Few thoughts. Maybe they were from the Jews who remained in Babylon after the exile. Remember when the exile happened? They go into Babylon for 70 years. And who went into Babylon with them? Daniel. And so Daniel's prophesying about the son of Jacob arising who will have the star and the scepter and the ruler who was to come from this lineage were prophecies that were known to these people who were still in Babylon. Possibly these Magi were Eastern astrologers who studied the ancient manuscripts that Daniel had left and others had left because of the Jewish exile centuries earlier. They had copies of the Old Testament to study. Possibly they simply had a special message from God that directed them right to the Messiah. Some scholars say the Magi were from different lands, representing the entire world, bowing to the Lord. How many know every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords? These men recognized Jesus was the Messiah. Whether they were from a different land, whether they were Jews from Babylon, whether they were people who simply read the Old Testament manuscripts, they knew that this was the Messiah, though tons of people, and especially the priesthood around Israel, wanted nothing to do and couldn't see that he was the Messiah who was born. Matthew pictures Jesus as king over the entire world. See, each gospel is written to a different people group, and Matthew is written to the Hebrews. And so these guys travel thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews. When they find him, they respond with joy and enthusiasm, and they wake each other up, punch each other in the arm, say, "Wake up, it's time to be excited." Okay, all right, very good. When they find him, they respond with joy, they've got worship, they've got gifts, and folks, that's a lot different than the attitudes of today. You know that? They sought him out. They went hundreds of miles, possibly took them a year to make this journey. As the star shows up, they plan, they get their materials all together. This wasn't simply by the chorus, by the way, three wise men. This was probably an entire entourage, a very large group of people traveling through the wilderness and desert place to get to see the king. They put effort into it. They put their time into it. They put their shoulders into it because this was big business. This was serious stuff. Do you know what? I'm looking at a group full of people who put effort into it every Sunday morning. Every single day you're reading your Bibles and you're running after the Lord and you're putting effort into seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus, watching him, learning from him, growing him, because he is big business. He's serious stuff, isn't he? Yes. Isn't he the one we're excited about most of all? Yes. And they did that. But contrast that with today's attitude. Well, the Lord better prove himself if he wants me on his team. The Lord better come and find me. The Lord better prove himself to me. And these people put their time, money, and effort because they were hungry for God. Isn't that what we want to see? An outpouring of revival so that kind of hunger comes in people's spirits. Willing hearts worship him in that way. Jewish scholars could tell the Magi that he was to be born in Bethlehem, and not a one of them got up to go see for themselves as the Magi went down the road to find him. Isn't that powerful? These pagan men had more willing hearts to worship than those who were considered God's people. Matthew 2, verses 9 through 12. Matthew 2, verses 9 through 12. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with what? With exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The star that had led them reappears to them, leads them to a house in Bethlehem where they find the child Jesus. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. See, you have the shepherds right on the scene as he's a baby, finding him really in a cave or behind where the animals were. It wasn't an inn like we think of inns today. You all know that. And then you have the Magi coming on the scene, and by this time, he's a young child with his parents in the house. And Bethlehem is 5 miles south of Jerusalem. The stars, by the way, you understand stars are naturally travelers from east to west, not north to south. This is a supernatural experience that has occurred here. Maybe the star that they saw was the Shekinah glory. We've read about it if you've been reading through the Old Testament about the light that led Israel by night and the cloud by day and all of that. Whatever it was, God appeared and people could see it, and those who were hungry made their way to the Messiah. But what did they give him? We're going to wrap this up in just a couple minutes. Just a few thoughts as we move in to this next several weeks. What did they give him? They got gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. Gold represents his deity, his purity. Incense, the fragrance of his life. Myrrh, his sacrifice and his death, which was to come. And you understand, we've talked about it in the book of Revelation as we studied. Myrrh was used for embalming. And there was a city right close by there in Asia that supplied most of the world's needs for myrrh. Do you know that Joseph probably used these gifts to fund the family over the next couple of years as they had to escape to Egypt and then make their way back. The Lord knows exactly how to provide for his people. Say it with me. The Lord knows my need and provides for me. Amen. Astronomers, they might have been those. Astrologers, might have been those. Very least, these probably were kingmakers in their country, where they're the ones who gathered together and set people on thrones, court of power and authority. And they came and they bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. All the wisdom of the Gentiles, of all the ages, of all the philosophers, have already bowed before Jesus. And people today need to catch up to the truth that he is King of Kings. Willing-hearted worshipers today put forth effort into finding God's Son, worshiping God's Son, and giving their lives and their substance to the Lord. Is that you? Come on, church. I said, is that you?
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes.
Are you a willing-hearted worshiper?
Yes.
Mary? Joseph? The Magi? You and me. Where are we? Remember, he comes as 8 days of age with his parents into the temple. And who does he find there? He finds Simeon and Anna, elderly saints, people who were waiting for the Messiah to be born. And Mary and Joseph brought their son to be presented on the 8th day according to the law. And God lets these elderly folks, preciously, who had waited upon the Lord, see the Messiah, and they literally worship him. Remember when Jesus was still in the womb and Mary went to see her cousin or her aunt, Elizabeth, and her own baby leapt in her womb in recognition of Jesus. How about you? How about you and me? Does our heart leap within us to come and worship? Do we look at each other and say, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord? The scripture says in the Psalms, I was glad when they said to me, come, let's go to the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I miss you when we don't get to hang out together. Come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. I want to learn of his ways and he'll teach us. And the Bible says they came up, and the Psalms of Ascent are in the Old Testament Psalms as you come to 135 and on in. They go up to Jerusalem, which was up a hill, and they worshiped as they went. And they quoted these Psalms, and you can imagine as every step they took, they got closer to the temple, and they were saying, come on, let's go worship. Aren't you glad to be back in the temple? Isn't this cool? We're back in Jerusalem again. And that's how we gather on Sunday mornings. Isn't it great to be together again? Isn't God good? Let's go see Jesus. Let's be with him. Oh, I hope he transforms my life today. Hey, what's going to happen? I wonder how God's going to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I wonder what verse he's going to use today. I wonder what joke. No, you probably don't wonder about that. What is he going to do today? There's something in our hearts that should rally and respond to our opportunity to come and worship the Lord. Why? Because we love him. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Willing hearts worship him. We sing a song, oh come, let us adore him. Sing it with me. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. And we get to go out and tell the greatest story ever told about Jesus, born as a babe in the manger. But you know the songs. You know the story. You know the season. But do you know the Savior? And as we go out to bear him to others, they'll know the songs. They'll know the season. They might know the story, but they need to know the Savior. You've got the greatest story to tell. Don't be ashamed. Merry Christmas, church. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's go back to the key of G, musicians. We're going to finish with I Love Him, the song that we didn't have a transparency for. I love him. I love you. I love you. because you first loved me. How many are glad to be loved by the Lord? Amen. You're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life personally to Jesus. I urge you to do so today. He loves you so much. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people here to pray for you afterwards. Come on up. We'll be honored to do so. If you need a free release and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, we're honored to pray for you for that. Jesus loves you so much. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the presence of the Lord.